Hello and welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, the podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This week, TK is chatting with horn section trumpet and banjo player Joe Auckland. They'll be discussing the horn section TV show, Taskmaster appearances, and trumpets. A lot of trumpets. And stick around after the interview to see TK in the hot seat to discuss some behind-the-scenes workings of the podcast.
Welcome, Joe, to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we're just going to dive right in to the questions that I have for you. So I know that you and Alex and Ben have been friends since childhood. So how did the horn section come to be? Because in the first mention of it was in 2010 in Edinburgh. But were there any like performances beforehand, or was it just like a funny idea that had just been brewing for a while?
Yeah, pretty much that. Pretty much an idea. Well, an idea which had been brewing for quite a few years that, you know, we didn't see each other that often, I suppose. Well, Alex, I saw Ben all the time. Ben and I didn't see Alex that much at that point. But whenever it would be like family Christmases, that kind of thing. We would say, oh, we should really do something with the, you know, your comedy and our music. And we're all sort of plodding along, not, you know, just jobbing away, I suppose, to do what we did. And we said that every year for several years. And then Mark came onto the scene and is a bit more dynamic, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, he really liked the idea. Ben and I were in a band with him at the time, and he spoke, you know, this is a great opportunity, we should make it happen. He was, he kind of kick-started it a bit. We did a few warm-up shows in London, but then basically went to that Edinburgh with two songs. I think maybe we had two songs and like an idea for a game, and that was it really. Yeah, it was incredibly loose.
Yeah.
The first incarnation of it was, very dependent on guests, very guest heavy, and very improvisationary, and great fun. Actually, still some of my favourite section moments for first Edinburgh, I think, especially as there was no expectation at all at that point. We just kind of thought we'd go up for a bit of a laugh and see what happened, and then suddenly, you know, it all sort of went very well straight from the off, really. And lots of people came, and people were talking about it, and we had like the biggest names at the festival as guests, and because Alex wasn't. Although Alex was well known in kind of Edinburgh at that point, he wasn't on telly or even on the radio, I think, particularly at that point. So he was still kind of feeling his way a bit as well. And so we were all sort of slightly taken aback at how well it went initially. And then we're like, right, we should probably do some bit more sort of, formalise it a bit, I suppose, or just develop it a bit, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you remember what two songs they were?
There was a song, that we had sort of a finale song called Sidemen, which was by Joe Stilgo, who was in it only for the first couple of years, was he in it? Something like that. It was kind of a barbershop-y thing. So that was the end of the show. We'd all come out the front and sing this song about being sidemen, basically. What was the other thing we had? I think we had an introductory song we played at the beginning to sort of set the evening up. And then we had a few stings and things to bring guests on and off, and maybe a couple of, like, we had some romantic music, but, you know, we had a few things to fall back on. But yeah, in terms of our material, it was very, very limited at that point.
So,
Yeah,
that's cool. So was it always going to be the horn section because that is just what made the most sense, or
as in the name? I think it was probably one of those things that was partly came about because of the name. Like, is that true? I don't know. Sort of feels like, yeah, it was like the name was a bit of a gift, so we should definitely do it.
It definitely works. So how long have you been playing trumpet for?
I started trumpet when I was 9, so I'm now 47.
Nice. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much. So a long time. Yeah.
Is the trumpet the instrument that you knew you wanted to play, like, when you were that age?
Pretty much. I think I actually wanted to play the French horn, but they didn't have a French horn at school, and they did have a trumpet.
Yeah.
And yeah, because actually Alex played the French horn back then as well. Yeah, but I'm sort of glad I didn't end up playing the French horn. I mean, lovely instrument, but
yeah,
kind of not much use outside of an orchestra,
I That's suppose. True, yeah.
Whereas the trumpet's a bit more.
More versatile, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. So yeah. So this is a Taskmaster specific fan podcast, and we're going to be talking a lot about the horn section. But so for Taskmaster, you were on the show a couple times. So you did a live task with Mark playing Midnight for the series 4 episode 3 live task.
Right,
so that
yeah,
that was just like a brief cameo there. And then you also had the Make an Instrument with Jenny Eclair task in series 15 episode 2. Yeah, so how, like, what's the difference between being on like Taskmaster and doing that with them, between like that and doing a horn section like live show?
I guess it's quite a lot less involved for us being on Taskmaster.
Yeah.
I've had a great time actually every time I've done anything Taskmaster related, and I'm not just saying that. It's been brilliant fun. They're really lovely production crew, and everyone's very welcoming, and it's sort of relatively pared down, as it's not a massive crew. It's a nice little family, and yeah, it's good vibe really, and yeah, it'd be great.
Nice.
Mark and I got a bit drunk before we did that midnight thing, and then we were worried we sort of annoyed everyone, but I don't think they either didn't notice or didn't mind.
Yeah, I just rewatched it yesterday, and it sounded fine to me.
Oh good. I think it was one of those things, we had like a little rehearsal at like 2 o'clock, and then we filmed it that evening or something, and we were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The place to go was a pub, so yeah. One thing led to another. But yeah, and the thing with Jenny Eclair was great fun. I love her. She was brilliant. But that was very brief. I think I was probably in the Taskmaster house for that, the thing with Jenny. I reckon I was in and out within half an hour, maybe 5 minutes. So it's really just like you kind of get in there and you do it and then you leave, and yeah, so it's pretty straightforward, and yeah, quite
so
exciting.
Had you met her before then, or were you aware of her before then?
I was aware of her, yeah. I don't think I'd ever met her. I don't think, oh no, yeah, no, because she did our, we've done stuff with her before, haven't we? Yeah, I can't think what that, so my memory's hopeless, but yeah, I was, yeah, very much aware of her, and yeah, really like her. She sort of reminds me a bit of my mum. she's kind of a more eccentric version of my mum, so I was quite pleased when, I'm not sure how we got assigned which guest we were going to work with, but anyway, I was quite pleased when it was her, because I was like, yes, brilliant.
Nice, that's awesome.
I'll be fine with that. Yeah.
So speaking of television shows, the second series of the Horn Section TV show comes out in May, which is really exciting. So what was it like being a fictionalized character of yourself on a TV show? And what are the differences and similarities between your character in real life?
I'll start with the second bit. The differences and similarities are minimal. I like to think I'm not quite as sort of off the pace as the character in the Horn Section TV show, but in all honesty, probably not far off. The characters are very slightly exaggerated. I suppose what Alex did in writing it was take the parts of us that he found amusing and slightly exaggerated them, basically. But yeah, not a great deal really. I mean, it felt sort of natural. But it's also, I think, surprisingly difficult, turns out, if you have no experience of acting. To portray yourself. It's like in the heat of the moment when there's lots of people shouting directions at you and pointing things at you. It took a bit of getting used to, for sure.
Yeah, I bet.
I think there were, yeah. There was talk of panic attacks. I don't think anyone actually had one.
But, oh, that's good.
But yeah, it was, I think, particularly that the first series, the first few days were all, so, rabbits in the headlights, really. I like it.
So, was recording the second series a little easier then?
Yeah, much easier, I think, because partly because the fact that there was a second series meant that, you know, they obviously had some faith in it, and that we were being asked back. So it was like, okay, well, right, they know what they're getting this time. Whereas I think the first time was a bit like, are they aware that I was going to act? Do they know what's going on here? And obviously they did know that, but you know, just until you sort of,
yeah, that's cool.
With the reality of it, I suppose it's a bit different.
Right. Yeah, the thing that I love the most about the Horn Section TV show is, as a musician, when you watch movies and TV shows and you can tell that they've hired an actor and not an actual musician that knows what they're doing. And so it's really refreshing to watch like actual like people playing their instruments, and like, you know, that that's not, you know, a facsimile of somebody acting out. So it's really refreshing.
The opposite scenario. The only bit that does actually look convincing is when they're playing the instruments, rather than the rest of the entire role.
Yeah. There was a bit of a running gag in the first series, which I feel like it kind of died out, or it just like never came back and made an appearance. But the running gag was like, oh, we can't drive a car, we're musicians, or we can't do this, we're musicians. I really liked that. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. I think a lot of musicians a lot of artistic people in general are pretty useless in many ways. You know, everyday tasks. I mean, driving might be slightly overstating it, but yeah, right. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the fandom side of the Horn Section and Taskmaster, do you have like a favorite memory or a funniest memory of like interactions with people from the fandom that have come to a Horn Section show, or they recognized you from the TV show or Taskmaster, or any of the above?
I had a good one the other night, actually, where I went out with a mate from my kid's school. I don't know him that well, but we went out and we're into some of the same music, so we went to this kid together, and he brought a couple of his mates in. And we all had a good old night of it, and lots to drink and everything. And I'd got on particularly well with one of his friends, and I'd probably chatted to him for about 3 hours, and we were just about to leave, and he turned around and looked at me and went, "You're in Alex Horn's band, aren't you?" Literally been sat like I am with you now, like face to face with him for 2 or 3 hours chatting. And then suddenly, penny dropped. Yeah, that was, I mean, it's quite funny at the time.
So how often would you say you get recognized by just people off the street?
Oh, probably 4 or 5 times a year or something, which is perfect, I think.
Because
I really like it. It's really nice when it happens rather than in any way annoying.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's brilliant. I reckon that's about right, like once every 2 or 3 months, and you'll always enjoy it rather than, yeah, well, I don't know. Not everyone finds it annoying, but I can imagine. When I was on my second date with my now partner, and this was before we'd been on telly, this was like quite early days, someone came up to us in the pub and recognized me, and I still think that's probably any part a big part of the reason I got a third date with him. So yeah, served me well.
Yeah, celebrity status.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Level.
Yeah. So with your interactions with the fans, especially like after Horn Section shows and stuff like that, like live shows, how do you find the fandom in general? Like, is it a pretty chill group of people? Nice people?
Yeah. I think all are, yeah, they're generally really, really lovely, slightly quirky people. I really like them. Often after the tour shows here, Mark and I and Will will be selling, you know, tote bags and stuff in the foyers afterwards. So we chat to quite a lot of people these days. And yeah, there's. I mean, it's a relatively broad thing age wise. I think it's a relatively broad thing in every way, really. But I'd say the one thing that ties them all together is that they're generally like very, very nice and slightly quirky and slightly odd, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it's a perfect kind of person, I think.
Well, exactly, yeah. You couldn't want for better.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I have a bunch of friends that go to horn section shows fairly often because they live over there, and I'm always so jealous because I live in California. Well, hopefully one day y'all can come over here and.
Well, there is some talk of that, yeah, because Alex and Greg have been going over a bit, haven't they? There are things happening, so yeah, I think that doesn't seem as absurd a suggestion as it would have done.
Yeah,
even a year or two ago, you know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if you're allowed to even answer this or even if you know the answer to it, but do you know if there's like tentative dates or years?
No, there aren't.
No idea.
No, it's purely a kind of having seen what's happened with Alex and Greg, it's purely like, okay, well, maybe there is an opportunity for us there as well, you know, but it really hasn't, no, I'm not being secretive.
More just one of those things of like, we'd like to, and we probably can make it happen at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Developing stages. Cool.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any like physical gift from a fan that's particularly memorable?
Gift? I don't think so. No, we did get some really sweet sort of miniature instrument key rings quite recently.
Yeah, nice.
They were cute. Yeah. What else? Oh, there was someone who made an amazing crochet blanket.
Ooh.
And it was huge.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the current tour poster, I think, or was it the previous one? But it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, completely, like, beautifully made.
Nice.
And they brought it along, and they'd been up all night the previous night to finish it.
Wow.
It came to the show in, what was it? But yeah, just came out to the foyer office and unfurled this huge blanket and held it up in front of us. Got it. And it was like the detail in it. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Yeah, that was pretty special. Yeah.
That's cool. So who has the blanket then?
I think they still have the blanket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They just wanted to show it to us, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, because it had taken like 200 hours or something. You know, it was like.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a bonkers.
Yeah.
Bonkers thing.
Okay, so we don't really have like a proper games section, but I do have like a little bit of a game for you. So the game is going to be, it's quick fire questions, and you're only allowed to answer with one word.
Okay.
Okay, and there's only like seven, so it's going to be pretty short. Okay, so. First question, have you ever played in a pit orchestra for a musical?
Yes.
Which musical?
Singing in the Rain. I mean, a few, but the West End, I did Singing in the Rain.
Nice. What's your favorite musical?
Oh. I don't know. Matilda.
It's a good one.
I've been to see Matilda with the kids recently. That was very, very good.
Nice. Best genre of music?
Best genre? Ooh. Bluegrass. I've never been bluegrass.
Nice. Favorite trumpet mute?
Harmon mute.
Yeah. I was like, there's no other answer.
Gotta be.
What mouthpiece do you use?
It's a Yamaha. I think it's a 14B.
I don't even know it went that high.
No, maybe that might be wrong. I'm going to check. talking of trumpeting, I went to see Winter Marsalis last night. Was over, yeah. Went
oh, that's awesome.
The Lincoln Center. It's so battered. I can't tell. I can't see it at all, I'm afraid. I don't know if you can see it. It's absolutely hammered.
Oh, wow.
It's very, yeah.
Dropped that thing a lot.
Yeah, I think when I was teaching, I used to use it to, you know, when kids get their mouthpieces stuck in the trumpet.
Yeah.
So I used
oh,
to,
you,
this
yeah,
one,
yeah,
this
yeah.
This one
yeah.
to bash
right.
out,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, not sure.
Oh, man. Okay, two more questions. Best trumpet player in the world?
Miles Davis, if they're allowed to be.
Yeah.
Deceased.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Right.
And then this is a two-parter question. The first part is, do you have a tattoo? And the second part is, if you don't have a tattoo and you had to get a tattoo, what would it be?
I don't have one. If I did almost get one, and I knew what it was going to be like. I don't know if you have this in America. We have this sort of classic picture of like three ducks sort of flying in a row, which you might find this picture in like pubs, or it's not even like a specific version of this picture. It's just kind of a classic image of like three ducks.
Yeah.
And so I thought I would either get three ducks flying in a row, but then one of the band said, why don't you get three dicks instead? And then it could be a funny story about how you asked for like three ducks, but you got three dicks. So it'd be either three ducks or three dicks.
Right. That's amazing. Would the dicks have wings on them, you think?
Well, that's an idea. Combine the two. Yeah. Yeah, I think they would.
That's amazing. Okay, great. Well, you did pretty shit with answering them with just one word, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
That's all right. So you have written a lot of songs for the horn section. Is there like a list somewhere of all of the songs that you've written? Do you keep track of like which songs each person has written specifically?
Not really, no. No, we don't really. I think we probably all know. You probably know the ones you wrote yourself, don't you?
Right. Yeah.
Part in yourself. No, we don't really. No.
Who writes the most songs in the band, do you think?
It's probably me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all go through phases where people go through phases where they're writing a lot and others aren't, and vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably over the years I've probably written. I would say my approach to writing is, if I've had an idea, I'm going to write the song and I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of songs. I would say I also have a lot of songs that I probably shouldn't have bothered with. But I think I find it very hard to know if they're going to come out any good or not, really.
Yeah.
So I do them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Alex's approach to this, well, all of my approach to this kind of thing, especially with the podcast, is, well, once it's done, it might as well go in.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Which means that, you know, they're kind of, there's very little self-editing at our end, I would say, on that,
right.
on that front. Like, but I think some of the others will be a bit more discerning with their own ideas. They'll sort of have an idea, maybe write half a song and think, well, this isn't going anywhere, and leave it. Whereas I will always finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and therefore there are a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely find that relatable, because my output of songs has been ridiculous in the past. And I also agree. Right. Like I'll just start one. I'm like, well, I've already put work into this, so I might as well finish it.
Yeah, exactly. So, throwing bad money after good.
Right. Yeah. Do you have a favorite song that you've written?
There's one in the new TV series. I think my favourite one that I've written is one called Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure really, but that's definitely one of them. Yeah.
Nice. Mine is Chris Hoy. For some reason.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's such a banger. Anytime it comes on my shuffled playlist, I'm like, I just crank that shit up.
Oh, good. Well, thank
yeah,
you.
Love that one. Okay, so I had a question from one of my friends about the horn section TV show, specifically for you. The running bit of your head being magic when kissed, did you get consulted about that, or was it just kind of an off-the-cuff thing that Alex did?
It's true.
Yeah.
I think that was just Alex. Yeah. I can't imagine I would have been consulted. I mean, I was delighted. You know, if I hadn't been consulted,
yeah.
I would have wholeheartedly approved.
Nice. I was gonna say, if it's true, that must be really annoying. Just lights turning on and off everywhere you go. Have to start wearing hats all the time.
It happens a lot.
I have another question from one of my friends. So since you released the song Groupies, what is it like to actually have groupies?
It's very nice, as I say. With all the people we meet through doing the horn section, and are very lovely and quirky and interesting, and it's really nice.
Nice. Sorry, these questions are like not at all connected to each other. So my next question is,
No, it's fine.
who came up with Jorge and Jesus?
Oh, Will.
Oh yeah.
That's from the depths of Will's imagination. Yeah,
And
yeah.
did he ask you to be the other half of it, or did he
He
ask
did, yeah.
around? Yeah. So
No,
he
I
knew
think he.
he wanted it to be you?
Yeah, I think he. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bit of a, I suppose, slightly like-minded. I suppose we're perhaps at the odder end of the. No, I don't know. That's not always true. We certainly used to be,
Yeah.
like the odder end of the thing, comedy-wise. I think
Right.
we had a little duo, which we used to perform with very occasionally for a little while. I think we only did about 10 or 15 sort of 10-minute slots, just at open mic
Oh, that's
nights around
cool.
London and stuff. So there was a period where we were doing quite a lot of writing
Yeah.
together and working together for
Nice.
that. I don't, yeah.
And then you have recorded an audiobook with Tim Key. Is that correct? The incomplete Tim Key.
Yeah.
So what was that like to record an audiobook?
Yeah, well, I just played some music for it. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, I just played, he just wanted to, it was a bit of some backing to his poems, essentially, you know. So yeah, I played
Did
some
he
backing
reach
tracks
out
for
to you
his poems.
specifically? And he was like, I definitely need like trumpet for this or whatever.
There was quite a lot of banjo, actually. Yeah, because that can possibly make a better, a bit easier
Yeah.
to perform a poem over.
That's
But there
true.
was trumpet on it as well. Yeah, it was great fun. It was great fun. It was very, very loose, very unprepared. We basically turned up and did it, and he basically read the book and occasionally says, "Yeah, I want some music on this," and I'd try and come up with something. So I wouldn't necessarily know like the flavor of the poem or whatever, and I think it.
Yeah. I feel like you and the rest of the band are pretty good at just taking very vague instructions on, like give us something folksy or give us something that you'd hear in an airport lounge. 'Cause Alex does that to you guys all the time on the podcast. He's like, "Give us a jingle," and you just have to make one up on the spot.
I guess we've got quite used to doing that with Alex. That
Yeah.
that's been the way, I suppose. Yeah, as we were discussing earlier, that first Edinburgh that we did was good for that kind of thing, because we would have like two or three guests every night on the show, and that would be kind of the way they'd work with us. Every night would be like, I want this mood, or I want this genre, or I want something that sounds like this. And so that was a, yeah, I suppose that was how we perhaps refined those skills, if they are refined. But yeah.
Right, yeah. No, I think you guys are fabulous at it. I improvisation is always terrifying to me, so I
Right.
don't like that.
Yeah, I think it's a really hard thing to do as an adult. I think it's something you have to start doing as a child, really. I think
Yeah.
it's, yeah, something you don't question as a kid. You just kind of
Yeah.
mess around on an instrument and see what happens.
Yeah.
Whereas as soon as you, I think in adulthood that sort of thing's much harder, because
So did it, what were you already doing a lot of improv before that and you were kind of like, yeah, this is fine, or did it really stress you out at the beginning?
it was never particularly stressful, I don't think. No, I think generally, the horn section has never been hugely stressful for any of us, because even when things go badly, because you're working with comedians,
Yeah.
they always make it fine. And actually, they'll make it, you know, if it's not very good, they'll have a bit of fun with it and that'll make it really funny, you know.
So right.
You feel like you're in a bit of a win-win situation. If it's good, then they'll be impressed. And if it's bad, then that's a sort of a bit of a gift to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it never felt stressful, really. No.
That's good. Yeah, one of my favorite parts about the Horn Section podcast, which we have a new series out right now, which is fabulous, is that I love hearing when all of you crack each other up in the background, and right, you're just like all laughing at each other. It's just so funny. It's like very wholesome.
Yeah, we do have a lot of fun together. We really do. Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I think increasingly we're just sort of pinching ourselves that we get to do it more and more, and that, you know, you can make a living out of it and all that. You know.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely seems like a really fun gig.
It is. It's the most fun. It's brilliant. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up our time here. So thank you again so much for coming on. We have the Horn Section is currently on tour through June of 2025, coming back in September through November, it looks like, according to the website.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know where in the UK you'll be, because I live not in the UK, so look it up on the website.
Pretty much everywhere. I mean, obviously not everywhere, but we're covering the whole country. So
cool. Yeah, and then the second series of the Horn Section TV show is coming out in May, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And currently the Horn Section podcast is out, has eight episodes, I think, per new series.
I think that's right. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I think we're on number three, aren't we, or something this week, or
this week will be number three, as of the time of recording this.
I listened to the one that you were on this morning.
Oh yeah,
it's come out great. It's really, really good.
Sweet. I'm excited to hear the version where I can actually hear you guys and understand what you're saying.
Yeah, because actually It felt slightly chaotic at the time for that reason, but the end result is not at all. It sounds really great and really natural, and it's great. Yeah,
sweet. Yeah, I'm really excited. Cool.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. So, other than all of those things, is there anything else going on that you're gigging for or doing that you want to tell people about?
Not particularly. I mean, my other sort of jobbing gigs that I do are all sort of going on, playing with Madness, and actually we're coming over to the States in May. Madness.
Oh,
you know Madness?
No,
British ska band from the 80s.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So they're always sort of touring on and off. Yeah, so bits and bobs, other things, and jobbing away, but
cool.
But always hoping for more Horn Section.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, one trumpet player to another.
Yes, indeed. We even talked mouthpieces.
Yes.
Not that I was much help. But
yeah. I was like, it's got to be a Bach 5C or 7C. And then you're like, well, Yamaha 14. I'm like, a 14? Even is that, a bucket?
I'll tell you what, it's pretty much a Bach 3C.
Okay.
But made by Yamaha.
Interesting.
The rim isn't quite as harsh. It's slightly gentler on the chops.
Nice. It's not made out of gold, is it? Because I know gold is softer.
It's got a gold plated. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Comfortable.
Yeah. Everyone else listening to this, like, what are you talking about?
Apologies for that.
Well, that's what you get when you put two trumpet players in a room together, I guess.
Absolutely. It was interesting going to the pub after that Winter Basalis thing last night.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely full of trumpet players.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what trumpet do you play on?
It's a Canstall.
Oh, never heard of that.
Yeah, Canstall. I think they're from LA, actually. Is that right? Anaheim.
Oh, yeah.
I think. I sadly went out of business like in the last couple of years.
Hmm.
But I've always played their horns. I think they're great. And, not that many people seem to play them, but they're really nice, I think.
Yeah. Well, you sound great on it, so keep
Yeah,
doing what you're
thanks.
doing.
What do you play?
I play a con, vintage con, something, something. I don't know.
Right,
I
right.
got really lucky because before I went to college for it, my dad bought it for me on like eBay, which like
Right.
don't do that, people.
Right,
Like
right.
don't buy
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
instruments
yeah,
on
yeah.
eBay.
Yeah.
But I really lucked out because it's a really nice
Right.
horn. So
Oh, amazing.
I got real lucky for that.
Yeah.
But I was like, are you sure you should be doing this? Yeah, because usually you're supposed to
Okay.
go in somewhere and actually pick up the horn
And
and
have a
play on
go
it,
at it.
and
Yeah. You've got no idea, really, have you?
yeah.
Right.
But it was $700, and I've been using it ever since high school, so
Well, amazing.
can't complain.
Certainly not.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe, for your time, and
Yeah, pleasure.
we'll see you online, and go see
Yes.
Joe in the horn section on gigs, and I will hopefully see a horn section show at some point. I'll make
Yeah,
it
sure. I'm sure you will.
happen.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
All right, cheers, Joe.
All right.
Thanks.
Cheers. Take care.
All right,
See
bye.
you then. Bye-bye.
Hello, TK. It's my show now. I've taken over.
No, give it back.
So, we have some time to fill at the end of an episode, and you're going to tell us a story. And
Oh,
it's
is that a
quite
threat?
a good. Yes, it is.
You're gonna do this and you're gonna like
Oh, I think it's a threat to the viewers.
it.
So, yeah, you're going to tell us exactly, at least as well as you can remember, because it's been wild. What has gone on in the last, what is it, 3 months that have led up to this moment?
Oh my gosh. Okay,
Yeah,
so
right.
yeah.
So for context, it feels to me like it was 3 days ago because of my bizarre sleep schedule, but the episode with Alex Horn just went out yesterday.
Was it seriously yesterday? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
It was two, yeah, it's Wednesday. So it was yesterday. It feels like 3 days ago, but so
It
this is all very
legitimately has
fresh.
felt like a Thursday all day to me. Like I'm not even joking. I said that to my work colleagues. I was like, "It feels like a Thursday." And they're like, "Nope, it's a Wednesday."
So yeah, I only know about half of this because I've been able to pick it up in bits and pieces, so I'm looking forward to hearing everything as well. It started with the Horn Section's Patreon, didn't it? So, where did the idea to buy that Patreon tier come from?
That is a good that's a good question. I'm not sure if I actually remember I kind of remember the answer, but so basically what happened was that I got tickets to see the New York City premiere of Series 19 for Taskmaster. And I had been waffling on whether to get the Patreon tier or not because it's not a small amount of money.
How much was it?
1,000 American dollars.
I thought it was 500.
It used to be
It went up.
500.
Ah.
Yeah, no, it used to be 500. They bumped it up to 1,000. I don't know why, because no, they told me that I was the first person to ever get it. But so I was waffling on it because like it's one of those things where it's like I would really want to do this, but I grew up basically with the mindset of like save your money whenever you can, you know, like use coupons for everything, like try to save money here, or like go thrift shopping, stuff like that. So I've never really treated myself to anything big before, and it's something that I've recently started to like actually do now that I'm well in my 30s, and you know, like I have a stable job and stable income and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, like there's no reason that I can't do this, you know,
Yeah.
because again, like I even like I get vacation time at work and I take it to go work somewhere else. Like I take 2 weeks of vacation to go work at a summer camp in Michigan. So like I never take vacations. I'm always constantly working, like very much Alex Horncore of like, I'm a workaholic. Like that's what I like to do. I like to keep busy. But so yeah, so stuff like that, I never really got into the habit of doing, but then the New York trip was coming up and I was like, I think I, you know, need to go to New York to see them because they don't come to America very often. And on the back of that, maybe I could run into Alex and be like, hey, like, I want to come on your podcast, because the thing about their podcast Patreon tiers are that a lot of them basically say stuff like, wow, that's a lot of money. We can't really give you a whole lot for it. Are you sure about this? You know? And so I wanted to tell him in person, like, just so you know, if you see $1,000 drop into your account, like that's on purpose, you know? And so like, that was one of my goals going into the New York premiere. So I decided to do it in January, like for sure. But then the question became, when do I do it? Because I didn't know when they were going to be recording the podcast episodes. I didn't know when the podcast was going to come out at that point because they hadn't announced it. I didn't know pretty much anything scheduling wise. And so I was like, maybe what I'll do is I'll tell Alex that I'm gonna do it, and then I'll wait until like March or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought March. It was for some reason or another. But
probably because that's when the we thought series 19 was going to be coming out.
Yeah. So I went to the premiere. I did run into Alex, and I ran into him twice. The first one was at the premiere, and it was when him and Greg were going around the whole theater saying hello to people as quick as they possibly could.
Yeah.
Which was the best that we could do, you know, during, like, in the situation. And so I saw Alex, and I was like, just to let you know, like, in a couple weeks, I'm gonna, like, buy a Horn Section Patreon tier. And I think I forgot to say that it was the I'm gonna be on the episode tier. And I was like, and so afterwards, you know, after like the hype had winded down, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I actually forgot to say like the most important bit of this. So then the day, my flight was going out in the afternoon, and just for funsies, me and a couple members of our online community went to the NBC studios because we knew that Greg and Alex were having an interview with one of the people in the studios. And so that was a whole other story because there were like two buildings. So we split up our group and we were like, we're going to text each other, you know, if they show up either here or there, because we kept getting conflicting information. It was very stressful. And so I ended up in one building basically by myself, and I was like looking at my phone, and I look up and there's Greg and Alex, and I look at my phone, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Greg and Alex, okay. I was like, they're here. It was actually very sweet because like I clearly was there for them, because I like looked up at them and I was like, oh, hi. And Alex like clocked me first, and there were other people that were also waiting for them, and so Alex like went up to me to be like, you like recognize us for, or like you like said hi to us first or whatever. And I was like, no, I gotta text my friends that they're here. And I was like, no, go talk to those people for a bit. Like I have stuff for you to sign. I need to get my stuff ready. Cause I was also like wearing my coat and like my scarf and my hat. And I was like, I need to like take all of this off so I can get a good picture without me being like, ah, you know, like in all of my winter gear. And so I was like, they're here. So they came over. So like all of us were in the same place, which was fine. So then like the people that they had been talking to left. And then Alex like looked at me and I was like, yes, I have stuff. Like I needed Greg to sign a print. And then I needed to talk to Alex. And I was like, and so to Alex, I was like, just so you know, by the way, this was like when they were leaving because their car had gotten there. And I felt like so bad because there were like my one of my friends got to, like,
I saw the photo.
Yeah, one of my friends got to, like, meet them, but then my two other friends didn't. And, like, and they had, like, met them at the premiere and stuff, but, like, I felt so bad. But anyway, but they were like, don't feel bad. Like, you had, like, stuff to tell them and, like, to do with them and stuff like that. Plus, we got that awesome video of the dance pose, so.
Yeah.
I don't regret doing that. But, so as they were leaving, I was like, Alex, by the way, I'm gonna, like, do the guest Patreon tier level of your podcast. Like, just so you know, it's not a mistake. And he's like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm definitely sure. And he was like, okay. And then he said, like, we're recording in February and March. So that's, like, perfect timing. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So then they left and like, we all went back home. And then I was like, okay, well, actually, instead of waiting for March, if they're going to start recording in February, maybe I should just buy it now. And so I bought it, like, early February, I think, or something like that. Because I also wasn't sure, like, sometimes Patreon is weird because it'll charge you on the first of the month, but then sometimes it'll charge you on the day of the month that you subscribe or something. It like, depends on the creator. So I like, did the thing where you subscribe or whatever it's called. And then eventually I got an email from Alex, and again, he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure. That's literally why I found you and told you that I wanted to do this, because I knew you would ask this. So then we emailed back and forth for a bit, and it was basically like, you know, trying to figure out what our schedules were like and what was going to line up and what would make the most sense and what kind of like format we would be doing it in, because originally it was supposed to be on something called like Riverside or something, which is I had never heard of it, but it was like a podcast streaming website service software. I don't know. So I like signed up for a Riverside account, and then that ended up not working on the day. So the day of, I think I waited like a couple hours actually.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was like so excited and I was like ready to go, and they kept emailing me, Alex and Joe Walker, who is their production manager.
I think he does a lot.
So I'm not sure what exactly his like title is, but Joe Walker. So they kept emailing me like back and forth being like, we're so sorry, we're running into like so many technical difficulties. And so it was like this whole thing, because I was super hype. Now, for a bit of context, Alex had told me prior to this that he would like send me a horn section podcast episode, and then him and me would just sit down and listen to it before it goes out, and we could do like a director's cut type of thing, and I can like get my feedback and we can see what's going on. And I was like, that's fine with me. So
yeah, that's what I remember something about that as well.
Yeah, so that's what I was expecting. So I'm sitting there, you know, waiting, and I was like, man, they're having like a lot of technical issues for me and Alex watching or like listening to an episode, you know. And so finally, like, I connected to Riverside, but it wasn't working on their end. And then what I ended up doing, I think, was like FaceTiming Joe Walker. I guess that ended up being what we used. But I think it was the place where they were at, their internet was really bad, I think is what it was. Like, their Wi-Fi just was not good. Which is unfortunate, because it's the studio that I think they record a lot of stuff at, and it sucks that the technical difficulties were so bad, because I had a ton of fun doing it, but it was really hard to hear them for a lot of it. And I know that they also like have since taken down the Patreon tier of being a guest on the podcast, and I feel really bad, because I'm like, I didn't like want that to happen, obviously, but it's not like anyone could have done anything about it. You know, it's not like it was anybody's fault or anything. So So finally, like, Joe Walker's, like, on his phone. He's, you know, getting, like, a face full of like, painted black nails and stuff. I was like, oh, that's so sick, man. And he's like, hello. I was like, hi. And so, you know, we did the whole, like, I can't hear you. Oh, you know, whatever. and then he, like, I don't know if it was on his phone or on a computer. He switched me over. I'm not sure. But he, like, put me up on a stand, basically, so I could, like, see the room. And the whole band is there. And I was not prepared for that. And I was like, I like fanboyed for like a second. And then I got myself under control. I was like, ah, it's the lads. Hi, lads. And they were like laughing about it. And I was like, okay, we're good. Everything's fine. Professional. Here we go. So yeah, despite the technical difficulties, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it did suck because for most of it, they had to turn their video off. But I had my video on for the whole thing because it didn't seem to affect their internet with me doing that. And they could hear me okay. I mean, you heard the episode.
Yeah.
There's only like one, I think it's when I say decisions and the S at the end of decisions is like choppy. And that's pretty much it. But like you can hear me at the beginning being like, yeah, I heard you say something about Patreon and then it went beep boop. And it's like, cause like I heard Alex like start to say something about the Patreon, you know, something about like, oh, you're our first Patreon guest. And I was like, yeah, all I heard was like Patreon. And I'm like, I mean, I can guess what you said, but there's no way of knowing. But yeah, so the rest of the time it was really fun. It was great. It was very cool to like see their process. It was so fast. They did it so fast. It was like,
yeah, it seems like the episode was in real time. Which, I mean, also for context, that episode dropped the same day that our episode dropped. It was like a proper little collab between the two of our podcasts.
I'm so tired. But like in the best way possible. So basically, like, so Alex was there on his laptop, and then all of the band were in their own, like, little sections, and they had their own mics and stuff like that. But what I assume happened is Alex on his laptop had probably much like what I have for our podcast is a script of stuff. Or not a script, yeah. But like a list of, you know, bullet points of like, we're going to do this next and then we're going to do this next and stuff like that. So yeah, it went by very quickly. And before I knew it, he was like, well, it's the end of the pot. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. But yeah, it was a completely lovely time. And every single member of the band was just so like warm and welcoming and hilarious. And it was good. Just amazing.
So now that you have heard Sticky Streets in context, what are your thoughts?
I still don't understand it. I literally, and it was so funny because when Alex was like, so TK, you're not going to have context to this. So like you can listen if you want, but you know, if you don't want to like spoil it for yourself, then you can take your headphones off and we can like cue you back in. But the problem was they weren't on video. So I was like, I mean, I'm not going to know when you're done, you know? Yeah. So I'm not going to like waste your time by like you emailing me because I'm over here being like, you know, like whatever. And so I listened to it and I was like, I have no idea what's happening right now. And now that I've listened to the rest of it, I have no idea what's happening right now. Like, I literally have no clue what the heck is going on. But it was really funny and I enjoyed it a lot. And then it was like one of the funnier moments of like the podcast. And I'm glad that they kept this in was Alex was like, so TK, did you listen to that? And I was like, yep. And then they all just like cracked up and I was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm so confused.
Yeah. So I was in the Discord cause I have really weird sleep hours. So I was in our group Discord when that happened. And I remember that was when like it was an odd demographic that's usually in the server at that time of day. And so everyone was like, who the fuck is Richard Madeley? which I'm sure did not help you either.
Yeah, so you get to a certain point with these boys, especially with Alex, that you just stop questioning whatever it is that they're doing,
yeah.
And you just have to trust that they are gonna go with whatever they're gonna go with, and it's gonna turn out however it turns out.
Well, I mean, luckily for all the Americans and South Africans and Australians that were in there, I am addicted to British television, so I was at least able to give some context, but I don't think there's enough context in the world to make Sticky Streets make sense.
Yeah, I agree. It's just so befuddling to me.
Yeah.
No matter how many times, almost feels like a magic spell. Like, you start listening to it, and then your mind is just like, it just melts, and then you stop listening to it, and you're like, huh, I don't remember the last 2 minutes of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I love it, but I've always been into that really weird avant-garde shit anyway.
Yeah.
So, I think it's hilarious. I can also admit it doesn't make any sense. Every episode, there's some new weird bit of lore
fire that just gets boots.
Tacked.
Fire boots.
Yeah, and it's like, there's definitely a continuity, but all of it just comes from nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned on their episode as well, you have recorded a few horn section stroke Taskmaster albums yourself up on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about those.
So I have two. I'm hesitating because I technically have three, but I don't really want to talk about the third one. I have two Taskmaster and horn section related albums. I forget which one I did first. I could look it up, but I'm not going to do that, because you can figure it out. On Bandcamp. So I did a Taskmaster fan album. And so that was all just original songs written and performed by me. I forget if my partner did any of those. I think he might have helped with those. By the way, that's my partner you hear at the very end of the podcast. I totally forgot that he was in on that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. And so I sent it to him. I'm not sure if he's listened to it yet, but I was like, oh, I forgot he did the role of the dog in this song. It was really funny and really cute. But yeah, I mean, he's a musician too. He has his master's in saxophone performance. So and he's a music teacher. So, you know, sometimes I get him to do stuff that I can't, like hit the low notes or play guitar. But anyway, so I wrote a Taskmaster fan album. The number one, first song on that album is called Little Alex Horn, and Alex purchased it from me quite a while ago, like when it first came out, for $5, which he did not need to do because it's free. It's available for free. And also, by the way, thank you so much to everyone that has been purchasing my songs today, because I've gotten seven emails that have been like, cha-ching, okay. Bandcamp is going to send you money. Because people are buying your Taskmaster and horn section albums. I was like,
that's awesome.
That's very sweet. Thank you. And then he emailed me after that and he said, I'll have this at my funeral. Thanks. And I was like, normal things for me to be getting emails about. Cool. Just Alex saying stuff, you know, like he does. Oh, so the Taskmaster, or the horn section covers album, I was like, I am just obsessed with all these songs, and I just really want to do covers, because I like doing covers. So I did three great covers, and eight more covers, and then there's also two more covers in there that I added recently, because I did Chinese Five Spice, which they played on my episode. And
which sounded really good, by the way.
Thank you. Arranging that was fucking hard. I don't know how barbershop quartets do it. Like little known fact, barbershop is my favorite genre of music. So I I can never get enough of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hear it in my head. I hear Chinese Five Spice in barbershop and I know I can do it. It was fucking difficult, dude. And then I also did one of Less is More. So that's up there as well. But anyway, so yeah, I had a lot of fun doing those. And I think the horn section, before Blue Sky happened, they retweeted it or Instagram. I don't know. Trying to be on socials all the time.
I think it was on Blue Sky. Oh, maybe wasn't
it was. It was like really early on in Blue Sky days. Yeah. Or something. So they like reposted it or whatever you call it on Blue Sky, and I was like, oh, well, cool. So yeah, it's been pretty fun. To, I mean, I just like writing music and being stupid.
There's been a theoretical question list for a while. How does that fit into the genesis of this podcast?
Like a question list for...
It started with Alex, and I think it's
a You just thread. Mean like all of the questions that we have yeah. for guests.
Yeah, that... No, not that one. The one that started in the main Discord. That was just...
What main Discord? Like you... There's no main Discord. You mean the podcast Discord? Because that's the only Discord I know about. Except today, the horn section was like, hey, here's a dropping yeah. a link to the horn section Discord. And I was like, you are being a menace on main right now, Mark Brown. I don't know what his middle name is, but...
our little group had for... It's still there. A theoretical stroke hypothetical list of questions for Alex. Like 90% of which were just unhinged.
Just you're talking about the
he said.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So how does that list relate to the genesis of this podcast?
So I'm now aware of. So at the start of every sentence, I need to click my tongue like this for some reason. Like a Valley Girl thing. I don't know how long I've been doing this. Anyway, I think it started as a... Greg and Alex get interviewed all the time by all these people, and they're never asking the questions that we actually yeah. want the answers to. That's the thing, is what we want to do with this podcast, is we want to ask our guests questions that we don't have the answers to, but also we want to have the guests feel like, thank goodness, this is not another podcast that clearly has done no research on who I am, what I do, like other podcasts I've been on, and I've already answered these questions. Like the one I keep bringing up is, how do you come up with ideas for tasks in his fucking hot dog? Do your fucking research. Like we're so sick. I mean, like I was about to say, we're so sick of hearing about Alex in his hot tub, which is not true. But like, you know what I'm getting at, right? Like,
yeah,
we're sick of him having to answer that all the time because it's so repetitive. So it's like,
it's a funny joke, but it's boring just as an anecdote.
Right. And so it's like, we want to be the podcast that asks interesting questions, questions that guests haven't heard before, you know, that really gets them, you know, like thinking about stuff and being like, oh my gosh, I've never been asked this. And like really engaging with what we want to ask them about. So yeah. that's kind of our goal here, I think.
I don't know exactly, but I think I have the gist. But where did the idea for this podcast first come from? Because I feel like it sprang from that list.
It kind of almost, I think it was a couple different things. So there was one member of our server, of our group chat. God damn it.
I think at this point, everyone knows it's a Discord.
Anyway, so there was one member who I think she had brought up the idea a couple times before, but like months apart, just as a joke idea. But then she was at the New York City premiere. Well, a bunch of us were. There were like 14 of us
there. Yeah.
And we... watched a couple of interviews that Alex and Greg were doing, like, while they were in New York and while we were in New York, and we were like, they're just going on whatever fucking podcast. Like, we should just make our own podcasts and ask them to come on, and they'll fucking do it. And, you know, and so, like, it started as a, not really a joke, but, like, pretty much a joke, you know, like, you know, oh, we might as well make our own podcast. But then after New York, and, like, I don't know how relatable this is, but something that I do a lot is I'll go to, like, a convention or a premiere or a show, yeah, or whatever, and I will become so inspired. I'll be like that D&D thing that's like, you gained bardic inspiration, right? Like, you have heroic inspiration now. And I feel like I need to do something with it. And so when I came back, I posted in the chat, I was like, fam, if we actually want to do a podcast, I don't mind being the host. Like, I was a teacher for 13 years, and I've grown very used to public speaking, and it doesn't bother me having my face put out there, having my voice put out there. I don't really like listening back to my voice, but, like, who does, you know?
I don't mind it.
So, yeah.
Also, for context, I've been doing YouTube off and on since about 2006.
Right, and I definitely have not. Like, I went on one podcast episode in my life before we started this. And that was the extent of that. So, yeah, we kind of, like, we all were super hype directly after the premiere. Because not only those of us that were there, we were, like, you know, buzzing about it physically.
Yeah.
But we were also chucking every bit of information we possibly could into the group chat. And then everybody else was, like, getting hype over it too. So I think as a collective group, we kind of were like, we could actually do this. Like, we could actually make this happen. So then we were like, okay, well, we'd need an editor and a couple people step forward. And, like, I had already volunteered to be the host. And then, like, Amanda immediately was like, I can be on an episode, you know? So she was on the pilot episode of this podcast. Go listen to it, because her voice is incredible. I could listen to her speak for hours, days at a time and not get bored. Like, I love a Scottish accent, and her voice is great.
And there may be more opportunity to do that in future, mm-hmm, which by the time this goes out, it will either happen or not.
Right, yeah.
I did enjoy the entire team collectively just losing its shit because you, a horn player, has never heard of madness.
I mean, there are a lot of brands out there. Like, no one has ever heard of my trumpet brand. Like, literally no one has heard of a Vintage One Con. Like,
I said madness as in the band.
Oh, madness. Yeah, no, I definitely, didn't know. I mean, I know our house, and that's pretty much it.
I'm so jealous you get to go.
Yeah.
That seems like such a good live gig.
The problem with being a professional musician, a.k.a. I have a bachelor's in music education, is that I don't know shit about current artists or whatever, you know, it's awful. It's not
I'm
good.
I'm going to really call you out, because they've been around since the 70s.
Newer artists, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean,
I didn't,
like,
know you were at the...
I am also a 300-year-old vampire, just like you. Yeah, we're twins separated at birth, actually, so...
I mean, we got even more twinish after I set my hair on fire.
Yeah, rip.
So yeah, when you see me in a few episodes' time, I'm going to look very different, because that was recorded 2 months ago.
I totally forgot that that's how timelines work, but that's really funny.
Yep, I'm actually going to have hair. Oh, and what am I? Episode 9.
Well, didn't... Oh, actually, I'm not sure if we're allowed to talk about this, but didn't the Taskmaster YouTube channel just post... thing about the caravan, but then I think they took it down really fast. But anyway,
did they?
I think so.
I saw that it was posted.
I mean, it might be reposted. I'm not caught up with the chat. But what happened?
I woke up in the middle of something weird.
Yeah, what happened in the video was, like, Alex was like, "This is a video that Greg definitely sent me in 2016 or whenever the year was," and it's, like, clearly Greg, like, today. Just looks beard, glasses, you know, like, completely different looking guy. And it's like, yeah.
Totally white hair now.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that's how time works. But okay.
Yeah, well, we get to pull a similar thing. Because yeah. I was a dumbass.
Yeah.
I miss my hair.
Yeah, rip. Well, we should probably wrap up because my partner just got
married.
But do you have any other questions, or were those your main ones?
Well, I'm going to wrap it up. It's my podcast now.
God damn it. Fine, somebody else do the work for once.
But yeah, no, I think this will have hopefully gone a ways toward settling any discomfort, odd feelings, rumors. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Go listen to the Horn Section podcast.
It's very good.
So yeah, should be all out. Go listen to all of Sticky Streets in a row and see if you can make heads nor tails of it.
Cool. Well, thank you, I guess. It's an odd situation. Well, we will see you next week. The YouTube schedules may be changing a little bit. Maybe they have by the time this goes out. We're still tinkering with things. Anyway, thank you for watching. Outro, voiceover now.
Yay!
I'm gonna sing a special song. It's not too short and not too long. A simple tune, a simple guy, a cheeky wink, a humble smile. The secret of a song like this is keep it brief, don't take the piss. I'll sing my song, won't hang around. I'll make my point, then sit back down. Because less is more, don't be a bore. You don't wanna make your own throat sore. Keep it short and sweet, like Danny DeVito. Try not to boost your own ego. No need to say the same thing twice. Just say it once, don't say it twice. Don't complicate things musically. Just add another harmony. A pinch of bass, a baritone, an alto and a soprano. Don't need an instrument, you'll see, as long as we have harmonies. Just remember the lore, that less is more. Deja vu means we have seen it before. Try not to strain, just sing your refrain. But make sure you chuck in a key change. Key change. Less is more. Make love, not war. Spread out your wings, let your body soar. So come on, you men, take a deep breath, and then it's time for an old-fashioned key change again. Because less is more. Don't you ignore an audience who wants an encore. Just remember to stop while you're still on top. You don't wanna let the momentum drop. So when you are sure, shut up shop, slam the door. You know what they say. Leave them wanting.